Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Friday. We're glad you guys are with us. Going to the phones right now, we're proud to bring on U.S. Senator Katie Britt, who represents the state of Alabama quite ably, and I hope she's on the line right now. Senator Britt, how are you doing?
Hey, Phil. It is wonderful to be with you all. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, thank you, Senator. I know that you're kind of been in flux today and all that, so thanks for making time for us. We appreciate it.
Hey, I always love doing it. And now that you, obviously, Alabama and Tennessee, I can't wait to come on during the fall and really maybe spar a little bit with some of your listeners.
Well, we do that with them every day, because even though we're in Tennessee, it doesn't mean that we're Tennessee fans, right? I mean, turns to Tennessee University of Tennessee.
That's right. I like it.
Hey, listen, I want to kind of run through several things. I mean, you're up there in the fray every day. And one of the things that I saw today was that the House, and of course you're in the Senate, but the House is struggling with the big, beautiful bill. The reconciliation bill coming out of the House appears to have hit an impasse to some degree in committee, although there's reason to believe that was just a procedural vote. What do you know about that, and where are we going with the Trump agenda in terms of legislation?
Yeah, so I'm really glad you brought that up. I have an outstanding call to one of my House colleagues to kind of get some background on exactly what happened and exactly what the pathway forward is. What we're seeing, obviously, is just you have a convergence right now of a lot of different ideas and thoughts, and we're working diligently to get on the same page. And so that takes time. It takes these types of meetings. It takes sitting down and kind of listening and figuring out where we can push and where we can pull, ultimately to achieve what President Trump needs us to and what the American people voted for us to deliver on November 5th. On this reconciliation package, you nailed it. The House is going first. Our priorities are going to be, this is a moment in time, obviously, to cut spending. You right. And I have talked about this time and time and time again, but we are now almost $37 trillion in debt. And so making sure that we figure out how to begin to live within our means, how to rein in spending, be more responsible with taxpayer dollars, it's critically important. That is never going to happen with Democrats in charge. So this is our moment to take a look and say, where can we cut? Where can we be more judicious? Where can we be more responsible? In the midst of that, we also are working to unleash American energy. President Trump said we're not going to just be energy independent. We will be energy dominant. You and I both know, obviously, that doesn't just affect what happens at the gas pump or the grocery store, which is critically important to everyday Americans that are working to provide for their family, Phil. But we know that it is also critically important when it comes to national security. When you see what's happening with Russia and Ukraine and where we are there, and kind of that the fact that Russia has so many of our European allies in the palm of their hand because President Biden chose to no longer make energy a priority and, in fact, move our country in the opposite direction of that. It's the same thing with Iran. We look at what they're doing with funding terrorism, and we look at how they're doing that, through so much of that energy production and the lack of the previous administration's willingness to actually enforce sanctions. So that energy dominance piece is one, Phil. Additionally, the border, there's been no more litigated issue over the last 4 years in this last presidential than our wide open borders and the failed policies of Biden-Harris. So we've seen President Trump come in on day one and show that it was complete fake news by Democrats to say that President Biden could not secure the border unless he had legislation, right? Complete fake news.
I think one of the best lines we had, Senator, from the speech, the State of the Union speech, was you didn't need a new bill, you needed a new president. And that's been proven.
Amen. Exactly. And so what we'll be doing from that and reconciliation, Phil, is just making sure that the president has the resources he needs to continue to secure our border and keep Americans safe. You'll see, and you know this from being on the front lines and so honorably serving in our military, but our nation's defense needs to be modernized. We need to take a look at What does 21st century threats look like? Where are we behind China? How can we make sure our warfighter is the best trained, equipped, and ready across the planet? There'll be a great deal of that is discussed and moved forward in this package. And then, of course, last but not least, we have the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. So that actually comes to a head at the end of the year and will ultimately expire. If we don't do something about that, if we don't extend that, that will be a $4 trillion tax hike on the American people.
Yeah.
The average Alabamian, Phil, $2,000 more is what they will spend. So we'll be looking at that. We'll also be looking at things like no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security, no tax on overtime, all of that compiled, and also things like my work on making childcare more affordable and accessible by putting parents in the driver's seat and empowering businesses to be a part of that solution.
Well,
all of those things are at stake. I am hopeful the House next week will come back in, find some consensus, and be able to move it forward, put the ball in our court in the Senate, so that we can get the work done for President Trump and the American people.
That was a great rundown. I mean, I don't think people realize sometimes how much is it. That's why it's an omnibus bill. It's a major piece of legislation. It's like an agenda packed into one omnibus bill, but it also has to go through the reconciliation process. It's got an entirely different feel than usual legislation. But let me ask you this, as an assurance to the listeners right now, is your sense of it, though, that it's still very much alive? It's not like the headlines we see from just midday today mean the death knell to the legislation. It's just a setback.
No, I don't think it is. So I don't think it's a death knell. I think, obviously this is part of the process. And what this is saying is we still have more work to do. What I believe is that the people that were elected to go up there and work on behalf of the American people believe their job is to do just that. And so I am hopeful they'll get in the room, this weekend, they'll get in the room next week. You'll see more of this and trying to find and build consensus. There is no doubt that we have been very clear that this was going to be challenging. This is why you saw at the original outset, the Senate had a little bit of a different idea about how we should approach this. Obviously, the House went out, and we have one big, beautiful bill, and so we are all unified in trying to march that, down the field and into the end zone. But it is absolutely going to be challenging, because I just told you all of those different pieces. Another thing is we have the debt ceiling. And, I voted against, raising the debt ceiling during my tenure in the Senate. What we have here is we have President Trump saying, will you extend this at a 51 vote threshold in the reconciliation package in addition to all of these things, because he knows that the other option is having to do it at 60 votes outside of the reconciliation package, Phil, which means that Chuck Schumer would get to actually set the agenda with what he wanted in order to get that from President Trump. So ultimately, this is really complex. You nailed it. There are all these different pieces. So I think we're just trying to work to build consensus, and that isn't going to happen overnight.
Well, and I would expect that, and I don't think people realize too how much sausage has to get made to do these kind of things. But and even more so when you've got an omnibus piece of legislation. But let me ask you another question. We got about 3 or 4 more minutes left together, and I want to switch gears on you. I know you've been speaking up about Iran, about disarmament, about keeping tabs on their nuclear program, and even preventing them from enriching uranium to the level that they could create a nuclear. Now, they can make a dirty bomb now, experts say, but an actual nuclear device. This is a nation that still yells, death to Israel, death to America, and has been funding the Houthis, the Hezbollah, and the Hamas terrorists. What are you seeing right now with experts saying that we are potentially days or weeks away from that level of uranium enrichment? What are you seeing right now with an effort towards Iran?
Yeah, Iran with a nuclear weapon is a dark day, not just for Israel, but America and the globe. It is critically important that we maintain strength in this and not waver. President Trump said he did not want them to have a nuclear weapon. He has been clear about dismantling that program. We need to make sure that we continue to raise our voice, particularly as Senate Republicans, to say we stand with that. We want absolutely no enrichment. There is no need for it. You have a number of countries across the globe that obviously have nuclear power and do not have an enrichment program. And so we've got to maintain that, because you laid it out for your listeners right there exactly what their plans are. Death to America, death to Israel. When they say that, we have to believe them. We know what they're doing with terrorism. You saw President Trump say, you've got to stop funding terrorism. Now we have to make sure that we enforce these things. So I joined on to a letter about this. We've been pushing really hard, and I think it's critically important for the safety and security, not just of that region, but literally fill the entire globe. So you'll see us. There's some different sanctions package, particularly, thinking about moving.
Yeah.
There's one actually for Russia, really placing those additional sanctions on there for them not coming to the table to create peace. Right there between Russia and Ukraine, there's also a sanctions package that may be moving with regards to Iran. So I think now is the time. No one understands peace through strength better than President Trump. And so I think it's critically important that we stand with dismantle the program and absolutely no enrichment.
Yeah, well, I would agree with that. Absolutely. All right. Well, listen, we got about a minute. I got to say, I just saw an article in 1819 about you pitching Secretary Duffy from Transportation to widen I-65 down through Alabama. Are we going to get a wider I-65?
Hey, you better believe that I am on it. When I have those opportunities, that's one great thing about being on the Appropriations Committee, is the opportunity to put Alabama's priorities front and center in front of the decision makers. Told him President Trump had come out and said he was for it, wanted his support. We know how critically important that is for Alabamians from top to the bottom of Alabama, but also particularly during these summer months when everyone wants to go down to our beautiful beaches. So we're going to keep pushing on that, along with a number of projects we have throughout the state, from the Mobile Bayway Bridge to the Northern Beltway there in Birmingham. We've got some critical infrastructure projects that'll make a difference and ultimately create more opportunity for people all across our state. So that is what I believe y'all sent me up there to do, is to fight for things that help our that advance our values and help our people.
Well, good enough. Listen, Senator, thanks for making time. I know you very rarely get time with family and all that. You took some time out of some of that today for us, and we appreciate it. And stay in the fight, and we'll talk to you again soon. All right.
Hey, it's an honor to be in the fight, and we're going to keep doing it. The American people deserve this moment. We're going to take our country back.
All right. Thanks. U.S. Senator Katie Britt, we appreciate you. Listen, there's your rundown from D.C. I think a couple of quick takeaways from that. Number one is that there is a concerted effort from the legislature to get that Trump agenda bill together and passed. So there's headlines right now that are out. I mean, as of like right now, Fox News has a top headline that says handful of Republicans sink Trump's big, beautiful bill in a key House committee. It's not done. It was a procedural vote that kept it from passage. But my understanding is they can go back, iron out some differences. Some of the fiscal hawks are asking for more savings, and I don't blame them. And so that bill's not done. And U.S. Senator Katie Britt saying it's not done. And then the other was keeping Iran from getting a nuke. The legislature, the legislative branch, it sounds like, is as much in favor of stopping that from happening as the actual Trump administration is. So I look forward to hearing more. And then widening 65, I'm cool for that too. All right, listen, we're taking a break right now. We'll take a break, get some text messages coming right back, clean up, and then coming up bottom of the hour, I'm going to do some JP on sports. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.